The following program is an encore presentation edited for broadcast at this time. Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, 8th Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey reflects on issues and events facing Catholics and people of all faiths.
Good morning, South Texas, and welcome to Our Shepherd's View on this 16th Sunday in Ordinary Time. I'm Barbara Little, here with Monsignor Lewis Kinneman, the Vicar General for the Diocese of Corpus Christi. Bishop Mulvey is taking some time off to be with his family. Today, we'll hear and reflect on our Gospel from St. Mark. Please stay with us, and we will be right back.
You are invited to celebrate life from conception till natural death. The 32nd Annual Celebration for Life fundraising banquet will feature fine dining, music, prayer, inspirational speakers, Christian fellowship, and more, with proceeds benefiting the Gabriel Project and Corpus Christi Hope House. The date is Thursday, August 26th, 7 p.m. at Mansion Royal, 8001 South Padre Island Drive. Guest speaker will be Dr. Joseph Meany. At Human Life International, Dr. Meany traveled the world promoting the gospel of life and is currently president of the National Catholic Bioethics Center and is considered an expert on beginning and end-of-life issues. He is also the son of Dr. Franchette Meany, a founding board member of Hope House. For sponsorship, table, and ticket reservation information, please call 361-852-2273.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. As I mentioned at the beginning of the program, Bishop Mulvey is taking some time off with his family, so we are delighted to have Monsignor Lewis Kinneman with us this morning.
Good morning, Monsignor. Good to be with you, Barbara.
Thank you. It's been a while.
It has. Yeah.
Wonderful. As I mentioned in the beginning, our gospel is from St. Mark, so if we could prepare our hearts and minds to listen to his word.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The apostles gathered together with Jesus and reported all they had done and taught. He said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while." People were coming and going in great numbers, and they had no opportunity even to eat. So they went off in the boat by themselves to a deserted place. People saw them leaving, and many came to know about it. They hastened there on foot from all the towns and arrived at the place before them. When he disembarked and saw the vast crowd, his heart was moved with pity for them, for they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, kind of to reflect back from last Sunday, Jesus was commissioning his 12 to go out and proclaim the message by word and deed. So this Sunday's Gospel, they've come back and they're very anxious to tell Jesus what about their missionary activity.
Well, you can imagine as they came back to him how excited they must have been.
Exactly.
And really filled with the Spirit and touched with what had taken place on the road. They had gone to reflect that the kingdom of heaven was there, and it was a time of repentance. And then they had mighty deeds that were taking place around them, healings and moments for people to really find the Lord, find God. And they had to have been super excited when they approached Jesus and reported to him all they had done. I can imagine they just huddled around him and began sharing over and over again. And I think Jesus in the gospel of today sees that they had a need to reflect on what had taken place and to internalize it for themselves and make it a part of their own spiritual life. It's not unlike what happens for us as religious or as priest or as lay people in ministry, whatever it may be. There's a need for us to reflect on our ministry and to take some time off. I ran across an article some time ago, and it's called The Sanctuary, The Secret of a Peaceful Heart. Mm. And it's by Margaret Blair Johnstone. And it calls this need of us to reflect and to touch our core being in kind of a sanctuary moment. And, you know, the way she described it is some people find sanctuary early in the morning over a cup of coffee. And I imagine that's one of yours, Barbara.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Watching my hummingbirds.
Watching the hummingbirds. And others to find it alone in a quiet room after the family is in bed, or still find it in more creative ways. Some have, you know, an altar in their home, and they spend time there, or just a peaceful spot. And in the article, Margaret tells about a friend who's a social worker living in a poor area of the city, and the only window in her one-room dwelling opens out onto really a very dirty alley. And it's pretty difficult to find sanctuary in a place like that. Yet she managed to find it. In describing her friend's daily life, Margaret Johnstone writes, "Her life is an endless routine of pavement pounding, tenement stair climbing, grievance hearing, and monotonous record keeping." And she wrote, "One night, the lady said, I paused at her door to leave a message, and she invited me in, and I found her small room aglow with candlelight. This is how I keep my sanity," she exclaimed. "Every night for 15 minutes, I light these candles. To me, the most serene thing on earth is a lighted candle. A candle that calls me to more." And so our sanctuary can be found in a variety of ways.
How beautiful is that?
You know, special moments, and it's an invitation for each of us to find our sanctuary moment, mm-hmm. our special prayer moment, our inner core moment. And the important thing, of course, is for us to be nourished by God's presence and God's Spirit, and to really touch us and really bring the whole day to the Lord. It's a quiet moment of communion, if you will. Mm-hmm. And thus, you know, the invitation of the Eucharist is so powerful because we call it Holy Communion. We call it that moment and when our spirits, our souls, our beings, who we are united with Christ. There's a beautiful prayer also I ran across. It's called Slow Me Down, Lord. And it's one that I reflect on myself, given the different duties that I've got. And it goes like this. Slow me down, Lord. Slow me down. Ease the pounding of my heart. By the quieting of my mind, give me, amid the confusion of my day, the calmness of everlasting hills. Break the tensions of my nerves and muscles with the soothing music of the singing streams that live in my memory. Hold me to the beautiful, restoring power of sleep, and help me in those moments. Teach me the art of taking minute vacations, of slowing down to look at a flower, to chat with a friend, to pat a dog, to read a few lines from a good book. Remind me each day of the fable of the hare and the tortoise, that I may know that the race is not always to the swift, that there is more to life than increasing its speed. Let me look upward into the branches of the flowering oak, then know that it is great and strong because it grew slowly and well. Slow me down, Lord, and inspire me to send my roots deep into the soil of life's enduring values, that I may grow toward the stars of my great destiny." That's by Wilfred Peterson, and it's a special little prayer that I do from time to time to keep me slowing down.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's a. I know I've heard that quite a while ago, but it was nice to hear it again. And I many times in conversations, Bishop has also said, and I'm sure you've heard him say also, and you've probably said this to your folks, we need just that quiet, and we need to make time for the quiet. And, you know, I think we're very blessed to be close to the water, where we can just look at the water and see the birds and see the dolphins. And to me, that's a beautiful thing.
Oh, it is. And we really do live in a wonderful spot to be able to commune with the Lord in nature. And mm-hmm. and the water and the waves seem to have just a healing power about them, a healing remedy. It's just neat to walk along the shore. And when we have our priest reflection days on the island, that's what we all do. We're all out there walking along the shore and letting the waves kind of flow over us, in spirit at least. And those are really neat and special moments. And everybody really, every day, deserves to have some right. quiet moments, those one-minute vacations, if right. you will, and right. To really get in touch with who we are, you know, as God's people, be able to celebrate God's love with us. It's special moments, very special.
Well, then, of course, as the gospel said, they tried to get away, and they tried to talk to him, but the people followed Jesus, and they wanted Jesus. And, of course, I guess we can reflect that back onto so many people's lives, that you try to have those moments, and you may get that one-minute vacation, but then there's somebody knocking at the door wanting you, or there's a child that needs your assistance. And so you're thankful for those one-minute vacations.
Definitely. And, you know, I can imagine when they got off the boat and disembarked and Jesus saw that huge crowd, and he was really moved. And the gospel tells us that he viewed the whole group as like sheep without a shepherd. And mm-hmm. so he chose to shepherd them. He chose to be with them. And, you know, one of the things that Pope Francis has been calling us all to is that we need to be with the sheep. And we need to be with the sheep so much that we, in his words, smell like the sheep, and which is his great humor, sense of humor. And I think in many ways, that's what Jesus did as he began to teach the crowd. And he does the same thing for us. He shepherds us if we're open to it. And he teaches us in many different ways, you know, throughout the day.
I know that there are so many people who think that Jesus isn't there for them because their plan is not going according to what they would like. But we all know that our plan is really not our plan. Our plan is God's plan. And so that's where we need those moments of silence to listen to what it is that he wants us to do.
And that is so true. That is so true. And it's hard to give up control, really hard to give up control and to really let go. And to let God, but mm-hmm. that's what we're called to do each day. And when we do that, the moment just seems to explode, and it becomes a wonderful grace moment, both for us, but for also for the folks that may be, you know, with us in the moment. It's a turns into a great joy, much more than we could have imagined. So it's a great moment.
All right. Well, we are going to take a short break, and when we return, we will continue our conversation. Please stay with us, and we will be right back.
Grounded in Truth. The third Saturday of each month, Our Lady of Corpus Christi and young Catholic adults present Grounded in Truth, a day of praise, worship, adoration, confessions, fellowship, live music, and compline. Events begin with the Holy Hour in the blue-domed Adoration Chapel, followed by confessions. Then everyone meets around the fire pit outside the cafe for snacks, fun, fellowship, and more Christian music. The day ends with night prayers. For more information, call Our Lady of Corpus Christi, 1200 Lantana at 361-289-0807.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Monsignor Kinnaman, you have a, I call it a very large role within the diocese while also being a pastor, but you're the Vicar General. And what does that mean? What do you do? I know you're juggling a lot of things, but for me as a layperson and maybe several other of our listeners, we may hear that and we may know that Monsignor Shirley was Vicar General for a long time, but we probably don't know exactly what all that encompasses. So here's your opportunity to help us learn your role.
Well, the in a humorous way, the Vicar General does whatever the bishop asks him to do. So that's part of this. Part of the main role is that the Vicar General stands in for the bishop. So if the bishop's mm-hmm. out of the diocese, the Vicar General takes on his role to represent him at various functions and groups, and mm-hmm. also as things happen in the diocese, the Vicar General represents the bishop in those moments.
So you're the decision-making purpose in those moments.
Yeah. And
decision-maker.
Of course, in conjunction with the bishop, but
sure.
It's an opportunity for me to be able to serve the diocese in a very special way. And it's really a fairly far-reaching job in many ways for the diocese. There's a lot that comes through my desk. So anything to do with Catholic schools, anything to do with our pastoral services and in pastoral ministry, anything to do with our finances as a diocese, anything to do with any of our outreach, so some of the Catholic Charities, different things do cross my desk, and I have all of the staff of the diocese is under me as mm-hmm. moderator of the Curia.
So you're like the head of human resources.
Head of human resources, and that's mm-hmm. that's fun at times.
Yes, it can be.
It's been really good, though, to be able to get to know our staff. They're mm-hmm. really good people. They're mm-hmm. very generous, you know, with their time.
Right.
Very talented, mm-hmm. very good group of folks. And it's been good to help just kind of help the bishop set direction. Mm-hmm. One of the things I do for him is I help to keep the things that he would like to see happen moving.
Forward.
Behind the scenes, mm-hmm. yeah. So his agenda, if you will, but really the things that he would like to see happen for the diocese, mm-hmm. keep those moving forward. Obviously, I work with the chancellor very closely, with the vice chancellor very closely. And
their role is what?
The chancellor handles really all of the paper of the diocese. So he's really the documents person,
mm-hmm.
But he also works with the, those moments when there's a groan in the diocese, I'll call it. Mm-hmm. Those moments that there's some kind of a challenge or difficulty, he helps work with those things. And then our vice chancellor is also a lawyer,
mm-hmm.
a civil lawyer, and so he helps a great deal in the different things that happen within the diocese, you know, in terms of legal matters.
Mm-hmm.
So if we, for example, if we get a contract in, he reviews the contract and I'll sign it for the bishop, but he's the one that kind of advises me, this is a good contract, let's go ahead and sign it, you know, and that includes for speakers and any other activities throughout the diocese that may need a contract. So he handles the legal side.
Would that also include when different parishes are having, say they're having additions done to their churches and there's a contract with the builder or something, does he approve all of those or does that usually the pastor of the particular church?
Yeah, it starts with the pastor, but the pastor then submits it to our Office of Construction.
Right.
And then usually I see it then mm-hmm. with the building commission of the diocese, and then our attorney, our vice chancellor, will then review it to see if it's workable for us as a diocese, and then if the parish, it's workable for the parish. And then I generally will sign it if you know, it's needed. So
a lot of eyes see it.
Yeah. See a lot of stuff. And a lot of paper that goes through the desk. You know, we have a lot of good people. One of the things that struck me when I first took over the position was that we end up on our knees real fast on things, that it's a really challenging position. I told Bishop, I said, you didn't tell me you end up on your knees real fast with this, because that's part of what happens. Some of the things are so big, and they affect so many people. So a lot of times when I'll have one person sitting in front of me, I actually have that person representing 1,000 or 10,000 people. So what we decide or where we head really means a lot. So it takes a lot of care and a lot of prayer to make it through those kind of moments. But it's also been really good, really good to be able to do that for the diocese.
Mm-hmm. Because you were a pastor in Rockport.
Yeah, Sacred Heart for 18 years.
Yeah, a lot of years.
Yeah. Behind the scenes, though, I helped Bishop Carmody with the financials and investments of the diocese. So when Bishop Mulvey found that out, he said, come here. We want you to be the vicar general. So, yeah, it'll be 5 years this September. It's hard to believe. It's blown by.
Yeah, it's been a long time. So recently you took on the responsibility of being the pastor of St. Philip's.
I did.
And you've been doing that for how long?
Been a little over a year now.
Okay.
And a wonderful group of people, wonderful opportunity. It's a much larger parish than I had thought when I first took it. Really very uplifting. I have a wonderful parochial vicar with Father Alfredo Verdial. Mm-hmm. He's one of our new priests. And a good group of people, very willing to serve, wanting to minister, very dedicated to the Lord, very dedicated to the faith. They're very good. I look forward to continuing to help shepherd them, to lead them to Christ, and to walk in the pilgrimage of faith hand in hand with them. So
that's wonderful. Well, then how do you balance that? Because you're vicar general for 3.5 years, if my math is working, you know, 3.5 years before you took over the responsibilities at St. Philip's. So are you delegating more, or have you just become more used to your position as vicar general that you had some time on your hands?
It's been a challenge to try to balance it. A lot of 12 and 13 hour days. I have a good staff at the parish, and I'm really grateful for them, so that when I am here at the chancery, I know things are taken care of there. And then we have a good staff here at the chancery, so it's helped for me to have worked with the chancery staff really well. And they know, you know, the kind of the process and the procedures that we need to follow when we have things taking place. And of course, with cell phones and emails, my phone gets blown up regularly by stuff from all over the diocese. So, but it's good. It's all good. It's just a lot. And so keep us in prayer.
Always keeping you in prayer. Yes, absolutely. And I know a lot of what you deal with is probably very confidential, and it's within the diocese, but when you say that just about everything crosses your desk, would this be in the way of maybe different retreats and different things that want to go on in parishes, just to make sure that there's some consistency within the diocese, so that one parish isn't doing one thing and another parish is doing something else, you know, like octopus, that the left hand knows what the right hand is doing?
Yeah, the pastors are really in charge of the spiritual welfare of their own folk. But if there is a retreat or something that gets missioned, you know, from one parish to another, that's when we get involved. And just to make sure that the mission retreat is according to what we think needs to happen throughout the diocese, because then it's bigger than just one parish. It's multiple parishes. So, yes, we do approve the different retreats and retreat kind of talks and schedules and programs that take place mm-hmm. throughout the diocese. You know, just to make sure that we're all speaking the same thing,
right.
And we're all walking together truly hand in hand with Christ.
Because we're a big diocese.
We are. We've got, roughly 400,000 Catholics on the books.
Wow.
We got some work to do because not everybody's coming to church right now.
Mm-hmm.
So we really need to work on it to get them to everybody mm-hmm. to come back.
And
so, yeah.
Back in the fold. I think Pope Francis is doing a lot, in his own way. I hear people who haven't been as faithful in regards to attending Mass really liking Pope Francis.
They do, and I find that even my non-Catholic friends
yes.
like him a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
He's been a great evangelizer for us and a wonderful person to lead the church as the chief shepherd, as mm-hmm. our Pope. So we're grateful to have him, and hope we have many years with him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He's a wonderful man. Well, any final thoughts for us before we close the program today?
Well, as we were just discussing, I encourage everybody out there to really renew their faith and to make a commitment to attend church on a regular basis. It's the way we form communion together, and it's the way that we can have an opportunity to meet the Lord in a very personal way, special way.
It is. Well, thank you, Monsignor, for being here today, and of course also sharing what you do with us. If you could close our session this morning with a prayer and a blessing.
Will do. Show favor, O Lord, to your servants, and mercifully increase the gifts of your grace, that made fervent in hope, faith, and charity, they may be ever watchful in keeping your commands. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you, Monsignor, and thank you for sharing your Sunday morning with us. Have a wonderful rest of your day and a blessed week.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. If you have questions for the Bishop, write to Our Shepherd's View, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, 78407. Or we invite you to email your questions and comments to osv@klux.org. Our Shepherd's View is a production of CCN, the Catholic Communications Network. The preceding program was an encore presentation, edited for broadcast at this time.